Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Parts of Maryland and other areas of the East Coast are abuzz with the anticipation of millions of visitors later this month. Not tourists or beachgoers, but the Brood 10 or Brood X cicadas emerging after 17 years underground. There seem to be two camps when it comes to this impending phenomenon. Those who cannot wait for the emergence of the bugs and the cacophony they bring, and those who would much rather be far away for the duration of the invasion. In a few minutes, we'll talk with a mother-daughter team who wrote and illustrated a book to teach children how not to fear the tiny but mighty cicada. Joining us first is Mike Raup, Professor Emeritus of Entomology and Extension Specialist at the University of Maryland. Also known as the Bug Guy, he has produced the Bug of the Week blog for more than 15 years and is the go-to guy about all things insect for dozens of regional, national, and international media outlets, especially right now. Welcome back to On the Record, Mike.
Oh, Sheila, it's so good to be back. And you're right, it is going to be a cacophony. That big boy band is going to be cranking it up in a very short period of time, and it is going to be spectacular.
Okay, aside from the sound, what does a cicada look like?
Well, these are pretty darn beautiful creatures. The body is jet black. They have these wonderful vermilion eyes, and their wings, unlike most insect wings, which are frankly boring, these ones have orange to yellowish wing veins. So they're really a pretty spectacular looking insect. And the other piece of the puzzle, these are relatively large insects. This is an insect that's basically almost the size of your thumb, whereas many insects are almost too small to see.
Why has this brood been underground for 17 years?
Well, it's just a very bizarre life cycle strategy for survival that they've evolved. This is a clever strategy to foil predators that attempt to track them through time and specialize on them as a source of food. Fundamentally, it's very, very difficult for any particular bird, any small mammal like a raccoon or a fox, to wait 17 years for a banquet. And in this way, they've basically lost any specialized predators that might be otherwise able to track them in time. So that's part of the reason we believe it takes 17 years. Another piece of the puzzle, of course, is they feed on a tissue in the plant. It's a fluid that goes through a vascular tissue we call xylem. This is a very poor nutrient tissue as plants go. And also another piece of the puzzle here is a very long life cycle may allow cicadas to reach a rather large size. Now, the size of an insect is often correlated with the number of progeny it can produce. And because of their very bizarre strategy for survival, which is called predator satiation, what that means, Sheila, is that there are going to be so many cicadas emerging simultaneously in that 17th year, they're going to fill the bellies of every predator that wants to eat them, and there are still going to be enough left over to perpetuate the species. And one thing that aids in this, of course, is to have lots of babies. So if you want to have a lot of babies to make that strategy work, hey, you're going to grow big, and it may take you longer to achieve that big size so you can lay a lot of eggs and basically overwhelm your predators.
Tell us more about what happens when they emerge. Tell us about the above ground part of the cycle.
It's going to be pretty spectacular. On a night, maybe following an afternoon thunderstorm as the sun goes down, they're going to make a mad dash out of the ground by the thousands. They're going to find vertical structures. They're going to climb up a tree, maybe the side of the house, or if you stand still long enough, that vertical structure might be you. Their skin, the exoskeleton, will then split open along the main line. And then within the next hour or so, the adult cicada will emerge from that shell, the cicada skin, It will then begin to expand its wings. And by morning time, it's going to change from a rather lovely, creamy color with bright red eyes into that black cicada that we'll see with the red eyes and the orange wings. And then it's going to make a mad dash to the top of the tree where there is a place of relative safety from predators. It will then spend the next 4 to 6 days becoming mature. And what that means, that exoskeleton has to harden, because for wings to work, for the males to be able to make their chorusing noises, and for the females to basically lay eggs in the tips of small branches, they have to have that hard exoskeleton. After they're in the treetops, it's going to be all about romance. It's going to be a big party up in the sky. Remember, Sheila, these are teenagers. They've been underground living a COVID-like existence for 17 years. There will be three cicadas that emerge simultaneously this spring. So to get everybody assembled of the same species in the right place, the males will make a calling song that brings all the members of one species together in the same place, a chorusing song. Then they will begin their courtship song. So once all the same species together in the treetop and the males are eyeball to eyeball with the female, he's going to switch over and he's going to give his very best performance with his courtship song. What he's going to try to do is convince that special someone that she should be the mother of his nymphs. Now, if she likes his performance, what she'll do is signify her pleasure by flicking her wings, making a little clicking noise, and then the deal is sealed. They'll hook up, they'll mate. The female cicada will then go to the tips of young branches. She will use her ovipositor. It's an egg-laying appendage. It will slice little grooves into these branches, and she can lay anywhere between 400 and 600 eggs. In the space of about 6 to 8 weeks, those eggs are going to hatch. The little nymphs are going to tumble 60 feet to the ground. They're going to bounce twice and then burrow in, and again, go underground for another 17 years, during which time they suck tree sap and develop. The adult cicadas, of course, by now have finished their biological imperative. They are going to rain down onto the ground and provide fertilizer for the plants beneath the very trees from which they were spawned. So it completes the circle of life.
How many are expected to emerge in Maryland?
In Maryland, it's going to be hard to say. In my own backyard, there are about 30 holes per square foot. And if you run the numbers on this, that's going to translate into something like 1.2 or 1.3 millions of cicadas per acre. I would not be surprised if we have simply millions of cicadas emerging here in Maryland this year.
So when is this party expected to commence?
Well, if 2021 is anything like 2020, using the cicada safari data we collected last year, we saw the very first cicada out of the ground on April 19th, just outside of Towson, Maryland. However, that was an extreme outlier. We began to see more and more the first week of May. It began to crescendo during the second. But by the third and fourth weeks of May, it was climaxing. We saw cicadas hanging on strongly into the first week of June. And thereafter, they began to tail off. And unfortunately, by the end of June and the early part of July, it was pretty much all over.
That's the bug guy, Mike Raup, professor emeritus of entomology at the University of Maryland. On the Record on WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the 17-year cycle cicadas that will emerge in Maryland and more than a dozen other states this spring. What is different about the 17-year brood from the other cicadas we see and hear each year?
Well, each year we have what we call the annual cicada or the dog day cicada. They emerge during the dog days of summer, usually begin to appear in June, and they'll be with us through June, July, August, and into September. These rascals take anywhere from, let's say 2 to perhaps 8 years to develop underground. But there are some members of those species that emerge every year. Now, their survival strategy is a bit different. They are cryptically colored, which means they blend in with their background, no red eyes and black body. So they kind of hide out on plants. And when you try to get close to them or capture them, they can take off like F-16s. They're super fast flyers and very difficult to catch. Whereas our periodical cicadas, they're pretty slow moving and pretty bumbly and pretty easy to capture.
Has climate change affected the cicada cycle?
The climate change phenomenon, or the rapidity of climate change, of course, is a relatively new phenomenon, so we don't really know the answer to that. What we suspect will happen with periodical cicadas, as with many, many other insects and other animals and plants, we'll see a range expansion further northward. Another piece of the puzzle, which Chris Simon, one of the cicada geniuses, she suggests that maybe some of the 17-year cycle cicadas will accelerate due to warmer soil temperatures and actually become 13-year cicadas. Another possibility, of course, more in the short term, is if we have a wicked warm spring season, which I don't know if that's really happening yet, that simply in some areas, cicadas may be emerging perhaps a week or 10 days earlier than they have in past years. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one, I think.
The last time we talked, you told us you considered the cicada your spirit bug. For those who are feeling queasy about sharing space soon with millions of cicadas, what would you say to convince them otherwise?
You might go to places like Botswana or Tanzania to go on a safari to see creatures, but guess what? There are going to be 30 million people that can walk right in their own backyard and have a cicada safari and witness one of the most fascinating natural events that happens nowhere else on planet Earth, or even in the universe for that matter, and see 13 or 17-year cicadas. So this is the opportunity for children of all ages to learn all the wonderful, fascinating aspects of life. It's going to be birth. It's going to be death. It's going to be predation. It's going to be romance in the treetops. It's going to be better than episodes of Game of Thrones out there. And you can go in your backyard and pretend you're David Attenborough and see a truly unique natural phenomenon. And you only get to see this a handful of times during a lifetime.
Mike, it's always fascinating to talk to you. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure, Sheila. And get out there, enjoy those cicadas. It is going to be wonderful.
Mike Raup, the bug guy, is Professor Emeritus of Entomology and Extension Specialist at the University of Maryland. We've been talking about the 17-year cycle brood of cicadas expected throughout Maryland and other parts of the East Coast this spring. We have a link to more information to Mike Raup's The Bug Guy site, all at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. There's also a smartphone app you can download called Cicada Safari if you'd like to participate in a citizen science project to map the cicadas. This is WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Short break on the record, and then we'll hear about a book designed to help children understand the cicada event, to stave off fear and spur curiosity. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Today we're discussing an imminent invasion in Maryland. It's estimated that very soon, 1.5 million cicadas per acre will emerge from underground, ready to engage in their cycle to mate, lay eggs, and die. We heard the details earlier from the bug guy, Mike Raup, professor emeritus at University of Maryland. Some people look forward to witnessing the mysterious event, but for others, the idea makes them a bit queasy. And for kids, it can be downright frightening. That's why illustrator Patsy Helmetag and her daughter, author Keita Helmetag Murdoch, teamed up 17 years ago, the last time a big brood surfaced in Maryland, to publish Cecily Cicada, a children's book about the cicada life cycle. They've updated the book for this year's Brood 10 or Brood X cicadas. Patsy Helmetag has illustrated three other books called The Trans Am Granny's Bicycle Across America, Squeakestered, and Slothy and Nomi. She's joining us from her home in Annapolis. Welcome to On the Record, Patsy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Keita Murdoch has written two other young adult books called Future Flash and Francie's Fortune. She lives in Boulder, Colorado. Welcome, Keita.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Keita, tell us about the book. I mean, it's not supposed to be a scientific look at the cicada cycle.
Right. We wrote this book originally when my daughter Evie was 2 years old, and she was terrified of bugs, any type of bugs, ants, flies, anything. And so I was really worried about knowing this incoming invasion was going to happen. We lived in Glover Park in Washington, D.C. at the time. And my mom and I were driving to visit my sister in North Carolina. And I mentioned that I really wish there was a book that could explain the cicadas to her, but not in just a scientific way, but in a way that would make it fun and would make it so that she wouldn't be as frightened. And my mom said, well, why don't we write one while we're on this drive? And so we didn't have smartphones. Things have changed in 17 years. So we had a cereal box in the car and a pen, and we tore up the cereal box so we could write on the cardboard. And we came up with the rhymes that ended up being the book of Cecily Cicada.
Patsy, had you ever illustrated a book before?
No, I'd never illustrated a book, and I had done some painting for fun. And when Keita asked me if I would illustrate this, I really thought it didn't much matter if I wasn't a professional, because it probably would just be for us. And 10 days later, I had all the drawings, and then she took a look at it and said, let's publish this. So we found somebody that she worked with. She was doing some graphic design work with a firm in DC, and we found a company that would do it for us. But I really never expected it to take off the way it did.
And, you know, we thought this will just be fun. We'll see how it goes. They ended up just flying off the shelves of local bookstores. We ended up doing another printing. It wasn't too long before the cicadas were coming out, so it was all done in this really quick process, and we were just really surprised by the reactions that it got. But people really seemed to connect with the story, and it seemed to really help kids.
That's author Keita Helmetag Murdoch here on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is her mother and illustrator, Patsy Helmetag, talking about Cecily Cicada, the children's book they published 17 years ago and then updated this year for the Brood X Cicada cycle. Okay, Keita, you said it. Children seem to like it, but your specific task, did it work as intended with your daughter?
It really did. She just got really excited about it. And in fact, she had no problem with the cicadas when they came out. She would go around and look at them and was enamored by them just the way we hoped it would happen. And what's been fun too, I mean, we just got a review from someone on Amazon saying, I guess I'll say I bought this for my kids, but actually this book was to help me with the cicadas too. So I feel like we've helped some adults overcome their fears as well.
Here is a clip from a recording of Keita reading this year's edition of Cecily Cicada.
One morning in May, she awoke with a start. This was the moment she knew in her heart. Somehow she knew she must get to the top. She began digging and digging and did not stop. Her head popped out in the dim moonlight, but her climbing continued that starry night. After so many years, she felt so free, she climbed up the bark of the sassafras tree. When she got near the top, she suddenly froze. She felt stiff from her nose to her toes. She couldn't move. She was stuck in one spot. She tried to crawl and found she could not. She wiggled and wriggled with all her might, but no matter what, her feet held tight. She thought, I have to get out of here. Her body trembled with outright fear. She began to shake. She couldn't stop shaking. When all of a sudden, she heard something breaking. She heard a rip and then a crack. She felt the night air on her back.
Keita, the book is lovely and it's short. Why did you decide to make a recording of it?
Because this way we can share it easily so that if teachers wanted to play it for their classroom, they can do that. You know, last time, 17 years ago, when the cicadas came out, we went and spoke at a good number of schools. Because of the pandemic, that is obviously harder to do this year. And it's something that's, you know, being done more virtually. So by having a recording, this way schools can have a recording where they can play that for their kids and have the author, one of the authors, reading it.
Patsy, you've had a few go-rounds with the cicadas. What significance does the cicada cycle hold for you?
I was 4 years old in 1953 when I had my first experience with the Brood X. The next, I was young married woman, and then I had young children, and then I was a grandmother writing a book. And now that child I wrote the book with Keita for is in college. She has both old and new versions sitting on her coffee table. And I'm almost 72, so I think the next time they come around, if I'm lucky enough to be here, I'll be 89. And it just is such a nice legacy to know that Keita and Evie and the other kids and grandkids will be the ones who will sort of carry on this every 17-year-old party that we've started.
And I think that with the cicadas is another message we sort of added on to the end of the book to remind people about that passing of time, because at the end, you know, we say, when you see a cicada, please give her a smile, because you might not see one again for a while. Just look at the grown-up reading to you. When the cicadas come back, you'll be grown up too. That really resonates with people too, with the parents reading this book to their kids, to think, you know, what is my life going to be like in 17 years? And what is this little person's life going to be like in 17 years? It's pretty incredible to think about.
Keita, what do you hope children and adults take away from reading Cecily Cicada?
I really hope that this book can help them recognize that the cicadas, it's really a magical event to have these creatures. They're peaceful creatures, and you know, they come out every 17 years. It's just, it's a miracle and something that I think we should celebrate. And so I feel like by making them so that they seem less scary, I hope that it gives people more of a sense of appreciation for the cicadas.
Patsy, what do you hope readers take from it?
For people, especially who are frightened of the cicadas, to understand that they are little living beings that have spent all these years underground for their one little time in the sun, and they're harmless. In fact, they're beneficial to wildlife that eats them, has a real boon every 17 years. And I think what I would like is for people to feel empathy for these creatures and all others. It's their one time around.
I'd like to add, I think this time around, there's also people could take a special meaning from it, in that when I read it this time around, I know I am not just thinking about the cicadas, but also of the pandemic. I mean, here we've all been quarantined and hunkered down, and we've gotten through this really tough winter. And I feel like we're all feeling a little more hopeful this spring. So I think that message of the cicadas and also of the book might resonate in an extra special way this year.
Thank you both.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's great to talk to you and great to be on here.
Illustrator Patsy Helmetag and her daughter, author Keita Helmetag Murdoch, published Cecily Cicada, a children's book about the cicada life cycle in anticipation of the coming wave of cicadas. We have a link to more information about the book and about cicadas at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on the record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.